and we've really got to do a better job because law schools don't teach any of this. And then you come into a firm and you're getting told by all these people what to do. No one spends time talking about mindset. And if you're in the wrong mindset, it's just not going to go well. And then you're wasting your time, and your time is so valuable. So start with mindset.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Build Your Book podcast. I'm your host, Dhaval Tank. And on this podcast, we talk about how lawyers can build a solid book of business authentically and stress-free for greater financial success, greater fulfillment, and peace of mind. I'm joined today with Aaron Baer, partner at Arden Burliss. It's a pleasure to have you on today, Aaron.
Pleasure to be here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, I think last week we started talking about why it's so important to do business development in a very strategic and a very structured and coherent way, because right now lawyers are approaching business development in a pretty haphazard way. They're shooting all over the place. They're hoping that something sticks. But from our conversation last week, we came across an interesting insight that it is hard to do business development for more than just the practical reasons about knowing the strategies, the tactics, all that stuff is fairly teachable. But you talk about something a lot more deeper and a lot more personal, but why this is so difficult. Can you talk more about that?
For sure. So, I mean, I think when you think about business development, there's a bunch of reasons why it's tough. You know, one is just making time, right? That's a practical thing. But there's a different part, which is mindset. And that, I think, is a challenge for a lot of lawyers. You know, you come up in a culture of perfectionism, of avoidance, of, you know, just not trying new things, you know, precedent-based. But the reality is for business development, you're going to fail. You know, you are not going to succeed most of the time. You know, it's like baseball, right? You know, if you get a hit 3 out of every 10 times, you're amazing. That's great, which means you're failing, you know, 70% of the time, right? So in some areas, you know, we accept that where failure is the norm, but law is not one of those. And that makes it a real challenge to switch that mindset from your day job, you know, doing work where perfection or close to perfection is expected, to business development where failure is actually going to happen way more often than success. And so I think that mindset piece for a lot of people is really tough. And for me, it definitely was. When I started doing more business development, you know, that was one of the things I realized I had to get over, because that idea of reaching out to someone and being ignored, or, you know, you'd have that meeting and you'd sort of hope that they'd give you business magically at the end. You know, it's this magical thinking, but, you know, afraid of making the ask or afraid of offending somebody, or you name it, you know, all of these things, these roadblocks in my head were holding me back from being successful. And if you're not going to shoot your shot, you know, you're not going to get what you're hoping for. And it's amazing the difference, you know, that I have once I got more comfortable with that, because you start realizing, look, you know, worst thing, they say no, and you're back in the same position as before. But if you're not comfortable asking, you're not going to get much, and you're really leaving it up to chance. And I think for the people that are good at business development, they're comfortable having those conversations and realizing they can do it in an authentic way. They can be vulnerable. They may not hear what they want, but that's okay. And then I think the second part there is not giving up once you hear that no. Like, no is not personal. No just can mean not right now. And I think really we'll talk more about this, I think, but really it's mindset. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Dhaval.
Yeah, I think mindset is the most important thing when it comes to business development and really just success in any arena. I think a lot of people are surprised. They think that people who do business development professionally just have this rock solid sort of invulnerability to them. And that's just not the case. It's really interesting. After the US military, the largest employer of motivational speakers are sales teams across the United States in corporate America. And I know when I started off my business development career, and I was sitting in a room with a bunch of C-suite execs, and I was asking for $500,000 kind of deal for the solutions that I was working on and trying to get the business of, I was terrified. Of course, it's terrifying. But it's only with time that you realize that, as you said, no just means in some ways not now, because you don't have the right offer in front of you, that you haven't been able to put together a solution that works for the client. And when I was able to detach my ego from the conversation at hand, the entire interaction became a lot more constructive. When I focus on myself, that's when I take the rejection personally. But when I focus on the client and I try and think of the highest ways of serving the client, then I am out of the equation. My ego is out of the equation. And when they say no, I think it's a point of introspection for me where I can say, well, hold on a second. I didn't put together this offer in the correct way. Let me go back and figure out, you know, how exactly I can restructure this. How can I make this a lot more digestible? Maybe remove the risk for them working with me. What can I do to make them appreciate the offer that I have? How can I solve their problem? And once I removed the I from this entire interaction of doing business development, the whole process became a lot more seamless. When I removed my ego, it became a lot more seamless. And I think, you know, that's kind of what you said. Lawyers have this, they have so much expertise. They're brilliant at what they do. They've spent so many years in law school and in training and all that sort of stuff to get to a place where they're doing business development. But then they take the work personally. They take a no personally. And it's not about that at all. It's the client isn't rejecting you. They're rejecting the offer that you put in front of them because it's not solving their problem in the way that you think it might. And
yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you there. And it's funny, it reminds me of a lawyer I work with who, you know, she's been rejected more times than probably anyone else I work with, but she's also been successful probably more times than anyone I work with. And one of the things on her end is, you know, she really has trained herself to believe, and it's amazing that she did this because it's such a valuable skill and I just want to learn from her, but, you know, no means not right now. And so, you know, I remember I was talking to her marketing department maybe a year or two ago, and I was saying, you know, we do all these webinars, we're doing all these things, we're getting, you know, a list of people who are interested in our stuff, we have their contact information, they've opted in, you know, what happens after that? And they would say, well, you know, the lawyer usually reaches out, and if they don't hear back, they just assume that the person doesn't want to work with us. And I remember thinking, wow, this is crazy. You know, the timing may not have been right, or they may not have had any then. But if what we're doing is giving up after the first time we fail, or call it failure, call it maybe a more positive word, the first time we initiate, and we just assume, well, scratch them off the list, you know, it's no wonder that we're wasting this opportunity, right? We have these people that opted in to hear what we had to say. They needed our advice in a certain area. And then once they're not initiating back after the first time, we were sort of saying, all right, well, we're done with them. You know, it's never going to work. And so I think that mindset, you just have to shift. You know, somebody doesn't need you now, but you know, think about all the services you didn't need right now, but a year later or 4 months later, something changed. And I can't tell you the number of people that have reached back out to me and said, hey, actually, I do need something now. Or, you know, a friend of mine or a client of mine or what have you actually does need something now. But it's all about keeping those relationships going. And if you start with this, you know, I've been rejected mindset, I'm never going to talk to them again, this is embarrassing, you're not going to get very far because it's so rare that things work the first time. That's not how relationship building works. And at the end of the day, you know, I don't think you think of sales as this transactional thing. It really is about relationships. And if you give up the first time, it's not going to go very well.
That's a really important point. I think sometimes it's not even about rejection. People are just busy. People are extremely busy. They're getting 5, 10, 50, 100 emails per day. They're getting tons and tons of voicemails. I mean, who even picks up their phone anymore? People are just extremely busy. And so if you think that one email you sent to someone and them not replying is a rejection, then you're really, really missing out. I think the research says that it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 email follow-ups for them to respond back to you just because of how busy they are. You know, sometimes it's not even about the day. Sometimes it's about the time of the day. They're out to lunch. Maybe they just had the principal of the school called and said, hey, there's an issue with your kid. You know, he got into a fight or something like that. There are so many life events that happen on a day-to-day basis that makes people miss this. And let's face it, in some ways, lawyers have a really hard time framing the ask. You talked about that as well. A client doesn't know exactly how to respond. You know, you're a lawyer. You're sending them all this information, this long wall of text. And at the end of it, they don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to pick up the phone and make a call? Think about how difficult sometimes lawyers make it to even book that. You know, you have to play ping pong back and forth, being like, oh, does this work? Oh, no, this doesn't work. Does this work? This doesn't work. And at the very end, they try and pick a time. And it's such a hassle sometimes for clients to even interact
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely,
And
yeah.
that isn't rejection. I think that's just not recognizing, once again, the client's pain. And once you start thinking about the client and their pain and the challenges that they're going through, this whole idea of rejection just gets thrown out the window because you're focused entirely on, well, how can I serve this guy? Let me try to understand what circumstances he or she is operating in. He's probably busy. Let me reach out a couple more times. Let me make it easy for them to reach out back to me. And let me create offers. Let me frame the differences that I can make for them continuously so that they know that I'm a valuable person who can give them insights, who can, really create value for them.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. And I think lawyers, we're so prone to looking for everything that could go wrong. If you're a contract lawyer, for example, you're trying to think about every single thing that could happen in the future, right? It leads you into this sort of pessimistic or negative mindset or, catastrophizing mindset. And again, for business development, like you have to shift that off, because if you're, internalizing everything that's not working and thinking it's you or it's because they don't like you or whatever, you're going to be in trouble because you can't have that mindset. We can't be worrying about, well, it must be something I did. You really just have to put yourself in their shoes. Okay, so the other thing I think that is critical as a lawyer when it comes to mindset is truly believing that you have value to offer the client. And that is something I really struggled with earlier on in my career, and it's why I didn't do a lot of business development and I wasn't that successful at it. I was sort of looking, we charge a lot of money. We weren't quoting, no fixed fees. It was very much a, we'll send you the bill when we're done the work. I needed to rely on a lot of other people to do the work, and I didn't love that business model. It was really something where I said, how would I feel if I had to send a friend, this large bill? And I hear that from people, do I really want friends and family as clients? And the answer is, of course, they're one of your best chances of clients. But if you don't believe you have value to offer, it's really going to be hard to successfully convince somebody else to hire you. And so I think part of that mindset is figuring out, what am I offering that I truly believe is valuable to the client? Because if you don't believe that, you're going to be terrible, subconsciously at doing it, and you're also not going to enjoy it. And I think once I started realizing, okay, I do have this value proposition. I operate really differently from a lot of lawyers, in a way that's good for clients. I am a lot more client focused. Once I started getting to that point, then it was a lot easier because then my mindset was, I truly believe I can help the client. Not every client, not every client's going to be the right fit for me, but I truly believe that a client will be better off hiring me to do this than hiring the average lawyer. And it's a lot different than traditional sales where you're selling a tool, whether it's a SaaS product or something else, and there's no doubt that tool is good, presumably, hopefully. Hopefully you're working for a company you believe in. But I think with lawyers, you're selling yourself or your firm, and that is really, really different. And if you don't believe in what you are selling, like how are you supposed to be good at it?
Absolutely. I think you really have to understand that the first sale you make is to yourself before you make it to anyone else. And I see this all the time. There's a real lack of confidence in the product that people are selling. And as you said, the product in this case is themselves. They're selling their services. They're selling their firm's services. And it's one of the first things I read about in the book that I wrote, Build Your Book. It's an Amazon bestseller. You can go on our website, buildyourbook.org, to get a copy for free. But it's one of the first things I talk about. Once you understand that you have a distinct and unique advantage, and there are ways to craft that yourself, it's not rocket science. You can craft it yourself. Once you figure that out, then for the right client, it becomes your moral obligation to want to reach out to them and continually ask for business. It no longer remains something that's mired in resistance, that's where there's a lot of hesitancy in reaching out to them. You feel so confident, you end up feeling so driven to reach out to them because you understand that you can drive value for them. Kind of what you talked about, Aaron. Like, it becomes your moral obligation to sell to them because you know you can solve their problem better than anyone else. When you
I've
get to
never thought about it that way, but it's
yeah.
fascinating, and I'm just thinking literally yesterday was doing something with a client, and there was another lawyer involved in the process too. And I was reviewing, what they had sent over, and I went, oh my gosh, is this what it's like to work with other people? Like this is terrible. Like these documents aren't drafted in a logical way. There's a bunch of information missing. We're gonna have to manually fill that information in. in 5 or 6 different documents. Like, this is just going to be a painful process for the client. And I'm empathizing with the client because I have to review this and go through this. And I'm thinking about what I have to draft and how I'm going to keep track of everything. And you're right. You know, I've never thought about it as a moral obligation before, but I think once you truly believe in yourself and what you're offering, you know, it's a no-brainer and it's almost their loss as the client. I mean, that sounds a little egotistical maybe, and I don't think, you know, you want to think about it that way, but I think it's powerful to say it's almost their loss if they don't want to work with me. I know that what I'm giving them, you know, probably is in their best interest, and if they don't want it, that's okay. You know, I'm just here to help. And that is so different than the typical mindset of, like, I'm not sure what I do. I don't really believe in it. I wouldn't really hire me, but I hope this person wants to work with me. You know, and I think that's where a lot of lawyers are starting from, is that mindset of, you know, they wouldn't hire themselves potentially. Yeah. And that's really challenging. But I think it goes to another point on mindset too, which is sort of vulnerability and authenticity. Yes. And I think especially in the legal world, but also in other worlds, we've seen this in politics. I mean, look at how COVID has been handled by different countries. And in Ontario, where I'm based, we've seen a complete lack of vulnerability, authenticity, transparency. And it's been a disaster from a public health standpoint, from a trust in the government standpoint, from a politics standpoint. Other countries have handled it differently. You know, New Zealand, a great example of their leadership, yes, being authentic and vulnerable and all of that. And at the end of the day, I think all the research these days, you know, the power of vulnerability, which vulnerability, I hate vulnerability. It's so important, though. It's so critical to everything, whether it's business, personal relationships, anything like that. And these days, the good leaders are vulnerable. They're authentic. But it also really translates, I think, to business development, because at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to build relationships, and you don't build relationships transactionally, and you don't build them by being this, you know, really uptight professional in the old days. And when I watch, you know, a number of my senior colleagues do business development, like, I'm struck by the differences. It's amazing how some of these best practices have changed over time. And yet we're not talking about these at the junior levels or for people who are trying to build their book now. And I see a lot of people emulating behaviors that maybe used to work, but are definitely not best practices anymore.
Absolutely. There's a real misconception that authenticity kills. And the more you blush, the more you position yourself as the expert, as someone who's invulnerable, who is who has a fortress around them, the more you position yourself that way, that somehow you're going to magically get the work. And the reality is that there are so many choices. Nowadays, clients have so many choices, and they're going to pick someone that they connect with at a deeper, more emotional level. You think that people buy, you think that people make choices based on purely rational reasons, but the reality is that they choose on emotion and they justify with some logic, with some made-up logic. That's just the reality of it. You know, think about why people buy a fancy car compared to a regular car. Well, they'll say, well, you know, this is these many horsepower. It's designed by this designer. It's manufactured in such and such way. The point of a car is to go from point A to point B. But the reason why they end up buying one car versus another is because there is an emotional element to it. And you might think that, you know, the B2B world, professional services is devoid of that, but it's not. People, at the end of the day, if two people are able to deliver the same kind of service, they're going to go for someone who has some authenticity to them, who has vulnerability to them, someone that they feel connected to. There's just no question about that. You know, it takes me back to a story for my own life. I went to the Ivy School of Business for my undergrad. I was a fish out of the water. I did not think I fit in any way, shape, or form. I was this son of an immigrant. I wore clothes that made me look like a complete dork. And everyone around me were these perfectly dressed people who had gone to private prep schools their entire life. And I'd gone to public school. I just felt really out of place. And I didn't feel like I could truly be myself. I didn't fit in with the entire party culture. I, for example, don't drink, so I couldn't do the whole, you know, bar, club night, all that sort of thing. And I was really, really self-conscious of all this. And as a result, I really shrunk myself. I didn't feel like I had a distinct advantage. I had nothing to connect with when it came to my classmates. And it wasn't until I started just being open about it, when I started to tell people that, hey, this is my story. Here's my background. Here, you know, for example, I don't drink. Here's the lifestyle I choose to live. And when I started doing that, something incredible happened. People in my section started to respect me. They started to see me for who I was. And I realized that it wasn't something scary or something big or some momentous occasion. I could have just done that from the beginning and no one would have batted an eye. They would have respected that in the first place. That was one of the first lessons for me in vulnerability and being authentic. You know, I was in my early 20s and I realized that it's okay to be fully vulnerable. And since then, I've used that lesson in every business development transaction I've done. If I'm with a client and I see something that they're doing, which I really resonate with or I really connect with, when I would have been extremely self-conscious to even bringing it up, and I would have just, you know, focused on my shoes or focused on my suit and tried to be a lot more professional than I could have been, I now let my guard down and I now talk about something that might be deeply personal. I talk about family. I talk about something that's important to them, something that's important to me, and we find a common point of connection. That's what vulnerability is. It's a common point of connection. That which is most personal is sometimes the most universal. And so if you have the courage to be vulnerable, if you have the courage to be authentic, I think you'll be shocked and amazed at how much more people connect with you, how much more people trust you, and how much more likely it is that they're going to want to do business with you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with that. And I think, you know, in the pandemic, I'm on video calls all the time. I mean, I'm literally talking to people in their house. You know, sometimes there's kids running around, there's pets coming in the room, you know. And to me, that's actually great. I love that. It's a little glimpse into people's lives. And it also gives you a chance to understand more about other people and to be vulnerable. You know, you see someone and you can see they're struggling because the kids are coming in the room, interrupting, and you can have the conversation about how tough it's been for you, you know, navigating your kids and how hard it's been, or, you know, whatever that is, you know, it creates these openings. And I think I've had a lot more authentic conversations in the last year with colleagues and clients and things like that, because we're all living, you know, in a really interesting time right now when everyone's struggling and everyone's got these challenges. I don't know if everyone who's listening has heard of, you know, Brené Brown, but she, I think, is probably the leading person on vulnerability and somebody who I don't think a lot of lawyers have heard of. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was talking to our leadership at my current firm, and I said, you know, like, you guys really should be reading, you know, Brené Brown, especially Dare to Lead, which is probably, you know, the amalgamation of all her other books. She's got another one called The Power of Vulnerability. They're all fantastic. And, you know, she is literally the go-to person on vulnerability. And a lot of her stuff is life-changing to read it, or at least, you know, a game changer. At least it was for me. And not from a business development standpoint, from a life standpoint. But I think once you can shift that mindset, and it's always a work in progress, like vulnerability is something I still definitely struggle with. I've made a lot of strides. I got a long way to go. But it's almost that power of freeing you up and realizing, okay, and you're turning what you thought was a weakness of yours into a strength and removing, you know, those fears and all that. And that is so powerful. But, you know, vulnerability doesn't mean telling everybody that you're a terrible lawyer. That's not vulnerability. You know, you're not doing that. But you're acknowledging that you're human, that you're imperfect, that you've got this past. And, you know, people really resonate with that. Think about those stories you hear of the person who overcame so many different things to get to where they are today. You know, that's vulnerability. And you resonate with that. You resonate a lot less with the person who had everything paid for by their parents and the simplest path. And now they're in the same position as that other person, you know, because we're human, right? The vulnerability, the sharing of, you know, when we were down and out and how we're not perfect and how we struggle with things, even though things look so good on the outside, that is so powerful on a friend to friend level, on a family member to family member level. And it's no surprise the same thing works from a business development standpoint, because at the end of the day, it's about humans connecting with other humans in ways that work. And I think, again, as lawyers, we've been so conditioned. Think about how lawyers are still one of these professions. We'll see what happens post pandemic, but I mean, that we're wearing suits all the time. And I stopped wearing a suit, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and people would sort of mock me internally, some people, and they weren't thrilled. But I was like, look, my clients aren't wearing suits. I also don't want to wear a suit. And why am I wearing a suit? Like, does that make me, you know, resonate with my clients? Does that make me resonate with other people? Or am I inadvertently sending this message that I'm better than you? Or am I sending this message that I have to be this buttoned up professional where, you know, I can still provide great advice and be highly trustworthy and reliable, but I can also be relatable and human. And I think in law, we've lost a lot of that. And I'm hoping at least one of the upsides of COVID, again, obviously COVID being terrible, but one of the upsides is like we are going to come out of this, I hope, embracing a little bit more vulnerability and just being more human.
Yeah. You talk about a very important point here, that authenticity, vulnerability, this self-confidence isn't just a business development skill set, it's a life skill set. And this is one of the most important points you really need to understand, that business development is just an extension of your life. It's about how you conduct yourself in the rest of your life, with your friends, with your family, with your loved ones, even with a stranger. Do you connect with them on a real sort of authentic level, or are you, you know, being very very surface level, or are you being very superficial with your connections? And I think this is the biggest lesson that we really need to embrace in this 21st century, this new age of how people buy, of how people sell, of how people do business development, and of how people lead their lives, of how they build their relationships. The more we bring some of our personal and our more human sides to our professional life, the better everything gets. And I think
For
that's
sure.
the ultimate lesson here.
Absolutely. I want to go back to something you talked about early on that I found really interesting, which was sort of, you know, these motivational speakers and how salespeople are consuming so many of them. So I'm curious from your experience. I mean, I know you've worked with some of the top companies in the world, lots of leading tech companies, and of course, plenty of lawyers. What is it? What is that mindset that they're struggling with? What are they hoping to get out of these motivational speakers? Like, what's that self-doubt look like?
Right. I think people need motivational speakers when they have a negative perception of what sales is, what business development actually is. They still think business development as something where you have to wrestle with the client, pull them across the finish line. You have to push the sale, drive the sale, close the sale. And those are just the language of that implies that that the client is your adversary. And the reality is that, you know, no one wants to do that. You push, you drive a car, you push like an object, you close a door. You don't do that to people. And until sales professionals use that same kind of language in how they're approaching sales, there's going to be a lot of internal resistance, because let's face it, we wouldn't want to do that to any other human being. You wouldn't want to push a human being. You wouldn't want to close another human being. You wouldn't want to drive another human being. All of that intuitively feels really scummy to us. It feels really bad for us to do. And so how do a lot of traditional sales organizations do it? Well, they get motivational speakers to come in and say, well, just drive the sale and be more confident and take on a better attitude and you know, assume the sale, close the sale. And they teach you all these closing techniques. They teach you all these cold calling techniques. But more and more, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, especially in the tech world and some of these leading corporate organizations, we're seeing a real shift. We're seeing a shift where these topics that we talked about on this call right now, about authenticity, about vulnerability, about being extremely client-focused, solving their problems, being there to serve them, finding your distinctive edge, your own unique value proposition, those are the kinds of seminars we're seeing more and more in business development organizations across corporate America, because it really is the future. This old model of, well, I just got to pump myself up, maybe listen to the Rocky theme song and pump myself up and make 500 cold calls and get meetings and close the sale. Those days are gone. Those days are not coming back again, because it came from a destructive mindset.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And I'm curious, you know, when you started out, again, you went to a top business school, you know, you worked at some good places. Like, were you naturally good at this, you know, on day one, or what was your sort of mindset evolution like, and how did you get better?
Yeah, I actually, I never saw myself as someone working in business development. I think in business school, especially, it's something that's looked down upon. You need to be in consulting, you need to be in investment banking. Business development is the bottom rung. But the more I started to do business development, I mean, I came into this role by chance. I joined a company. They encourage you to try out many different roles before you land in a particular place. And I started doing business development and I fell in love with it, because in some ways I was a consultant to the client. I was helping them solve a problem when they came to our company with their particular challenges. And I fell in love with that. I fell in love with connecting with other people. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating. I was, that's not to say that I wasn't a shy person. I'm naturally a bit of an introvert myself. I'm very bookish. I like to read books. I'd rather spend an evening reading books versus going out and you know, with 100 people at a bar or something like that. But it was really difficult for me in the beginning, because I did have a lot of this baggage. I used to think that sales is, or business development is, about pushing a sale, and it's about persuasion, and it's about trying to wrestle with the client and convince them that this is the best thing. And when I gave all that up and I started to evolve my thinking on what business development is, which is about solving my clients' problems. It's about being authentic, being vulnerable, connecting with them at a deeper emotional level, at a more human level. All that resistance kind of dropped away, and then I dedicated myself to learning the true mindset, the true philosophies, the true tools that you need to do business development. And when I did that, my life changed altogether. It helped me relate better at home, with my family, with my friends, and it made me a much more successful professional. But I would definitely say that it's a learnable skill. This doesn't come, there isn't a category of people who are business development or salespeople who are these super extroverted people. It's a learnable skill. You can do it whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or somewhere in between. You don't have to be this outrageous person who's the life of parties. You can be who you are, and you can do business development because at its core, it's about connecting with people.
Yeah, it's such a great point because I mean I picture some, incredibly extroverted, senior colleagues I work with who are, as you would expect, they've been very successful with business development. If you're comfortable being out there, the life of the party, that's the old school, I guess, mindset. And that works. And if that's your personality, I guess great. You've got an advantage. But when you think about the average lawyer, I mean, you did 4 years undergrad, you did, 3 years of law school, you read a lot of books, you read a lot of stuff. You've got a lot of people that are more introverted by nature. Or certainly aren't the kind of people who are, comfortable out there, just doing some of these things. If they were, they probably would have chosen a different career path in the first place. But I think you make such a great point. You don't need to be this hyper extrovert who is a people person, who is really, really always been that kind of way. You can find your authentic voice. And I think that's the key really is, everyone's voice is going to be different, but you've got to figure out what's authentic to you and whether you're an introvert, an extrovert. There are different ways to do it. And especially these days, in a world where virtual business development or by email, on social media, you name it, where you don't need to be out there all the time schmoozing with people, it really gives people some really great opportunities to not only do stuff efficiently, but also do it in a really authentic way where it doesn't have to be draining. It doesn't have to be another, networking session, which quite frankly, I think almost nobody likes. Maybe a few of the really extroverted people enjoy that. But I mean, how many times have you gone to yet another conference or another networking session or another dinner when all you wish you could be doing is at home resting or seeing your kids or hanging out with a spouse or seeing friends or doing anything but that? And I think that kind of stuff, if you don't want to do it, you really just shouldn't do it. Like it's you're not going to be authentic, right?
Yeah, you don't have to copy other people. You can find your own game plan. And that is the core of what I do with the coaching that we provided, Build Your Book, right? I mean, we look at each individual lawyer, we figure out what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, what do they like to do, what do they not like to do, where do they thrive, and how can they use all of that to reach out to their ideal clients, pitch to them their ideal, their perfect kind of unique value proposition, feel confident about it, feel good about it, and get business in an authentic way, in a stress-free way, with enough time to get back home and, as you said, get back to living life. It certainly and definitely is possible. And I think you planted the seeds for a lot of topics that we'll have to cover in the upcoming sessions about, well, how do you actually do that very tangibly? So any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I'd just say, mindset is critical before, you get into, well, I need more time to do this and all those kind of things. I think it's really just thinking about, are you setting yourself up to be successful or to fail? If you don't believe in what you're doing, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're not going to be successful at selling that part. And so I really think, you need to figure out, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, what am I offering? Do I truly believe that there's value I'm offering here? And to get yourself to also understand that you're gonna, like in baseball, you're gonna strike out, you're gonna make outs, you're not always gonna get a hit every time, and that's okay. Success is not the traditional lawyer model of perfection. Success here means, quite frankly, to me, it means building relationships, making new acquaintances, friends, all of that. And, hopefully some clients come from that. But if you come in with this transactional mindset and take every rejection personally and expect success immediately, you're really not going to have a good go of it. And I think we really just have to pay more attention to mindset. And then the strategies, of course, to be successful at business development are a whole different ballgame. But it starts with mindset. And we've really got to do a better job because law schools don't teach any of this. And then you come into a firm and you're getting told by all these people what to do. No one spends time talking about mindset. And if you're in the wrong mindset, it's just not going to go well. And then you're wasting your time. And your time is so valuable. So start with mindset. Huge fan of Brené Brown and her sort of stuff. So vulnerability, you know, Dare to Lead is probably the one I'd start with if you're looking to read it. She's also got an awesome podcast, which I think is on Spotify these days. And I think she got famous with a TED Talk and would highly encourage you can just Google that one. Her TED Talk is fantastic. And really, you know, the power of vulnerability and authenticity, it's so important. And as lawyers, we've been so conditioned to do the opposite. And we really just have to be mindful of doing things differently.
That's a great point. I'm going to put all of that stuff in our show notes. I'm going to put Brené Brown's TED Talk, some of her links to some of her books, and some of the key points we talked about on today's call. You can get the show notes in the podcast app, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you are interested in personalized coaching to help you become a better salesperson, a better business development person, reach out to us on buildyourbook.org/contact. You can set up a time to have a no pressure, no obligation call with us to figure out if this is the right thing for you. And we will continue on our podcast next week, where we're going to have another call with Aaron Baer, talking a lot more, digging a lot deeper into some of these topics.
Thanks for having me as a guest, and can't wait to chat more next week.
Sounds good. Take care, everyone.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.